Tiffany stood up.
"Ach, well," said Rob Anybody, looking around. "No bad job, though I says it myself."
"How did you get into the nut?"
said Tiffany.
"Only way we could find in," said Rob Anybody. "It's got to be a way that fits. 'Tis difficult work navigating in dreams."
He nodded at Wentworth.
"Is this the wee bairn?"
Wentworth chuckled.
"Funny. Wee man. Wee, wee man."
"Rob," called a pixie. "We've got a real one here."
To her horror, Tiffany saw that several of the Nuck McFeagle were holding up Roland's unconscious head. He was full length on the ground.
"Bring him along," said Rob Anybody.
He turned to Tiffany.
"Now for the door. Can you see the door?"
Tiffany looked around desperately.
"See the door," commanded Rob Anybody.
She blinked, her brain creaking with the effort of thinking. If she was in a dream, she had to wake up. She shut her eyes and thought about snow, crisp and white as fresh bedsheets. She concentrated on the feel of it under her feet. All she had to do was wake up. She was standing in snow.
"Right," said Rob Anybody.
"I got out," said Tiffany.
"Ach, sometimes the door is in your own head. Now, let's move."
Tiffany felt herself lifted into the air. Nearby, a snoring Roland rose up on dozens of small blue legs as the Feagles got underneath him.
"Nay stopping," said Rob Anybody, "until we get right out of here. Feagles, wahey!"
They skimmed over the snow with parties of Feagles running on ahead. When the Pixies had passed the last tree and the snowfield stretched ahead, Rob Anybody spun around and looked back at the forest. Darkness curled above it like smoke, spreading along the horizon.
"She's sending nightmares after us."
Tiffany heard a high-pitched noise, a sort of chittering insect noise coming from the forest.
"Oh, she's a bad loser, the Queen," said Rob.
Tiffany turned to look at the horizon behind her. A ring of boiling blackness was closing in from all sides.
"I'm not standing for this. The way to fight nightmares is to wake up. I'm your Kelder. This is an order. We're heading for those trees right now. Do what I say."
The Pixies glanced at the trees and then at Tiffany.
"Do it,"
she yelled.
"Right now. I'm going to get you home."
Rob sheathed his sword.
"Ye heard our Kelda, lads,"
he shouted.
"Grab her! We're off, ski!"
Tiffany was lifted up. Feagles raised the unconscious Roland and everyone ran for the trees. Tiffany put her hand in her apron pocket and pulled out the crumpled wrapper of Jolly Sailor tobacco. It was something to focus on, to remind her of a dream. The sea on the Jolly Sailor packet was deep blue with white crests on the waves. The trees got closer. So did the ring of nightmares. Some of the sounds were horrible, of cracking bones and crushing rocks and stinging insects and screaming cats, getting nearer and nearer and nearer. There was sand around her, and white waves crashing, and water draining off the shingle.
"Crevins,"
said Daft Willy.
"Where are we now?"
"Aye," added Rob. "And why are we all looking like yellow mushrooms?"
Tiffany looked down and giggled. Every pixie was wearing a Jolly Sailor outfit, with an oilskin coat and a huge yellow oilskin rain hat that covered most of their faces.
"My dream," thought Tiffany. "My dream, and I can use it."
Wentworth was staring at the waves. There was a boat pulled up on the shingle. As one pixie, or small yellow mushroom, the Nuck McFeagle were flocking towards it and clambering up the sides.
"What are you doing?"
said Tiffany.
"Best if we was leaving," said Rob Anybody. It's a good dream you've found us, but we can't stay here. The Queen finds a way in everywhere.
100 pixies raised an oar.
Dinna fash yoursel. We know all about boats.
And they did indeed seem to know about boats. The oars were heaved into the rollocks and a party of feagles pushed it down the stones and into the waves.
Now you just hand us the wee bairn, shouted Rob Anybody from the stern.
Her feet slipping on the wet stones, Tiffany waded through the cold water and handed Wentworth over. He seemed to think it was very funny.
Wee wee mens,
he yelled as they lowered him into the boat. Tiffany ran back up the beach and dragged Roland to his feet.
Get in the boat, she shouted.
She hauled herself in after him, the oars creaked and splashed, and the boat jerked forward. Then it began to plunge across the sea.
Head for the lighthouse, she said.
That's the only place there is, said Rob.
And the Queen doesn't like light.
He grinned.
It's a good dream, lady. Look behind ye.
Tiffany turned. The sky was very blue, but halfway up it was a band of yellow hundreds of miles across. In the middle of it, looming over the world, was a lifebelt. On the lifebelt, but spelled backwards in letters larger than the moon, were the words, Jolly Sailor. It began to rain hard, so hard that a haze of mist rose over the sea. Suddenly, white sails flashed across the storm clouds, and Tiffany looked up at rigging and ropes and sailors lined up on the spars. And then the stern of the Jolly Sailor's ship was disappearing into the rain and mist, but not before Tiffany saw the big bearded figure at the wheel, dressed in yellow oilskins. He turned and waved just once before the ship vanished into the murk. Now the lighthouse wasn't far. A little jetty stretched out from its tiny island. A drone was sitting on the rocks with its pale, fat legs sticking out in front of it, staring out to sea. Pixies poured onto the jetty and tied up the boat.
Okay, we're here, said Rob Anybody. We'll just chop yon creature's head off and we'll be right out of here.
Just leave it alone, said Tiffany. It's not interested.
She turned to the Nuckmuck Feagle.
In my dream, I always wake up when I reach the lighthouse.
The Pixies looked up at the red and white tower and, as one Feagle, drew their swords.
We dinna trust the Queen, said Rob. She'll let you think you're safe, and just when you drop your guard, she'll leap out. She'll be waiting behind the door, you can bet on it. You'll let us go in first.
Tiffany nodded and watched the Nuckmuck Feagle swarm over the rocks towards the tower. Suddenly there were noises from the lighthouse. Tiffany heard muffled shouts and thuds, and once or twice the sound of breaking glass. The door opened, the Nuckmuck Feagle came out. They looked satisfied.
Nay problemo, said Rob Anybody. No one there.
But there was a lot of noise.
Oh aye, said Daft Willie. We had to make sure.
As Tiffany pulled Roland out of the boat, she turned to Rob.
I'll wake up when I go through the door. I always have. This is my dream. Can you bring Wentworth?
Aye.
She looked towards the lighthouse door. She'd never actually seen it opened in her dream.
All right,
she said, looking down at Rob Anybody.
I'm going to carry Roland, and I want you to bring Wentworth.
There was a rushing, rattling noise behind her. She turned and saw the sea disappearing very quickly. It was pulling back down the shore. As she watched, rocks and clumps of seaweed rose above the surf and then were suddenly high and dry. Tiffany suddenly had a nagging little doubt that said, isn't the tide a bit slower? They reached the edge where the rest of the pixies were lined up. It was like looking down into a valley. At the far side, miles and miles away, the retreating sea was just a gleaming line. Below them, though, were the shipwrecks. Galleons and schooners and clippers lay strewn across the bay. The Nuckmuck Feagle, as one pixie, sighed happily.
Ah, sunken treasure.
Aye, gold, said Rob. Stealing treasure for the ocean's bed. That's about the biggest, best thieving ever.
And now what Tiffany felt was real honest panic.
That's a lighthouse, she said, pointing. A lighthouse so ships don't run into the rocks. Understand? This is a trap made just for you. The Queen's still around. And look, the sea's coming back.
What looked like a cloud on the horizon was getting bigger. Tiffany could already hear the roar of a huge surging wave.
Come on!
Yelled Tiffany.
This isn't the tide, this is the Queen!
Tiffany managed to haul Roland across her shoulder and, staggering across the rocks, made it to the lighthouse door as the water crashed behind her. For a moment, the world was full of white light, and snow squeaked underfoot. It was the silent, cold land of the Queen. There was nothing to see except snow and, in the distance, the forest. Black clouds hovered over it. Ahead of her, and only just visible, was some turf and a few stones lit with moonlight. It was the other side of the door back home. Tiffany turned around desperately.
Got to get out! Got to get away!
She grabbed Roland by the collar, dragged him towards the door and sat him up against it. The three stones of the door were a black shape against the stars. But as she watched, the one on the left slipped over slowly and the other two ended up leaning against it. She ran over and prodded the air around them in case the doorway was still there. Then she stood under the stars alone and tried not to cry. What a shame, said the Queen. You've let everybody down, haven't you? The Queen walked over the turf towards Tiffany and sat down on the fallen stones. You humans are such dreamers. You dream that you're clever. You dream that you're important. You especially dream all the time. You dreamed you could invade my world with a frying pan. You had this dream about a brave girl rescuing little brother. And then you left him behind. Tiffany couldn't think. It's the Queen, yelled her third thoughts. It's like hypnotism. You've got to stop listening. I expect it's not your fault you're so cold and heartless, said the Queen. It's probably all to do with your parents. Having Wentworth was a very cruel thing of them to do. She rose and walked around Tiffany. It's so sad. You dream that you are strong, sensible, logical, but you're just a brain, no heart at all. You didn't even cry when Granny Aching died. You think too much. Well, I think it's best if I just kill you, don't you? Frost crept over the ground. Tiffany felt the cold creeping up her legs. Then it began to rain with ice in it. The wind howled. Tiffany managed to take a step forward and fell forward into the freezing mud. The rain grew harder, stinging like needles. She felt the cold drawing all the heat out of her. The blackness grew deeper, bitter and starless. Silence covered Tiffany and drew her into itself. And then came movement, as if she was falling through the ground very fast, and gentle warmth, and just for a moment, the sound of waves, and her own voice inside her head. This land is in my bones. A creature like an ice cream cone with lots of tentacles shot past her. I'm underwater, thought Tiffany. I remember. This is the million-year rain under the sea. This is the new land being born underneath an ocean. It's not a dream, it's a memory. The land under wave, millions and millions of tiny shells. Now I'm inside the chalk, like a flint. She wasn't sure how long she spent in the warm, deep water, but after a while she felt movement again and a sense of rising. She opened her eyes. She was still lying in the mud, and the Queen was laughing at her, and, overhead, the storm still raged. But she felt warm. In fact, she felt red-hot with anger. This creature was trying to take her world. Tiffany's third thoughts said, "How dare you try to take my dreams, my brother, my family, my land? They're mine, and I'll make other lives and dreams and hopes mine too. I'll protect them, save them, bring them into the sheepfold. I have a duty." She stood up and screamed at the storm, putting into the scream all the rage that was inside her. Lightning struck the ground on either side of her, and it stayed there, crackling as two dogs formed. Blue light sparked from their ears as they shook themselves, and Tiffany recognised them as Granny Aching's sheepdogs, Thunder and Lightning. The Queen gasped and vanished.
"Come by, Lightning,"
shouted Tiffany.
Away to me, Thunder!
Two streaks of black and white sped away across the turf and up towards the clouds. They herded the storm. Clouds panicked and scattered, but Thunder and Lightning had worked many flocks. Jostling and rumbling and screaming, the storm rolled off the hills and away towards the mountains. Glowing with triumph, Tiffany watched until the dogs came back and settled once again on the turf. And then she remembered they weren't her dogs. And they weren't looking at her, they were looking just behind her. She forced herself to turn round, and there was Granny Aching. She took her pipe out of her mouth and gave Tiffany the little nod that was, from her, a round of applause. And then she wasn't. "But I'm still here," said the Queen, stepping in front of her. "Do you really think that you can face me alone?" Tiffany set her. She looked down, and it was Rob Anybody. With him were the Nuck McFeagles and Wentworth, and a strong smell of seaweed.
"It's over," she said. "Did you kill her?" asked Rob. "No." "She'll be back then." "How did you get away from the huge wave?" she asked.
"Ach, we're fast movers, and it was a strong lighthouse."
"Huh? Ha! A head full of head, you wee-wee-wee,"
shouted Wentworth, overcome with wit.
"And the big wave," said William the McGonagall, "threw up a lot of sunken vessels full of treasure. We stopped off for a wee pillage."
The Nuck McFeagle held up wonderful jewels and big gold coins.
"But that's just dream treasure, surely," said Tiffany. "Fairy gold. It'll turn into rubbish in the morning."
Rob glanced at the horizon.
"OK, you heard the Kelda lads. We got maybe half an hour to sell it to someone. Permission to go off, Ski?" "Oh, yes," said Tiffany. "Fine." They were gone in a split-second blur of blue and red.
"Wee wee men all gone," said Wentworth sadly.
There was a groan from Roland lying on the turf. He began to move.
"Can you walk down to the village?" said Tiffany.
"I think so."
"Then will you take Wentworth with you, please? I'd like to rest for a while. I won't be long. You can drop him off at the farm. Tell my parents I'll be down soon."
When the two of them had disappeared, she sat down and hugged her knees. A buzzard screamed. She looked up as it circled into sunlight and a tiny dot detached itself from the bird. Tiffany scrambled to her feet as Hamish tumbled through the sky.
You have visitors coming," he said as he landed. "Look up there."
There were two other things up there. Tiffany watched as they circled lower. They were broomsticks. "I knew I had to wait," she thought. The lowest broomstick had two figures on it. As it landed, Tiffany saw that one of them was Miss Tick. She half fell off and tottered over to Tiffany.
"You wouldn't believe the time I've had. It was a nightmare. We flew through the storm. Are you all right?"
Yes, said Tiffany. "The Queen's gone."
That seemed to cover it.
"Oh, well, these ladies are Mrs. Ogg."
"Morning,"
said the broomstick's other occupant, who was pulling at her long black dress. She was a short, fat lady with a cheerful face like an apple that had been stored too long.
"And this," said Miss Tick, "is Mistress Weatherwax."
She whispered to Tiffany,
"Very good witches. I was lucky to find them."
Mistress Weatherwax was tall and had an elderly, thin face that gave nothing away. Piercing blue eyes gave Tiffany a look that went right through her head and about 5 miles out the other side. Then she walked over to the stones and waved one hand. It was an odd movement, a kind of wriggle in the air, but for a moment it left a glowing line. There was a noise and flashes in the air. Mistress Weatherwax stared at pictures only she could see. Then she said,
"You beat the Queen at the end, but you had help, I think." "Yes, I did," said Tiffany. "And that was?" "I don't ask your business," said Tiffany, before she even realised she was going to say it.
Miss Tick gasped, but Mistress Weatherwax took off her pointed hat and bowed to Tiffany.
"Well said. I didn't have no right to ask you. This is your country. We're here by your leave. But if one day you care to tell me more,
I should be grateful to hear about it. She straightened up. In the meantime, we'd better see if there's anything left you can still be taught.
Is this where I learn about the witches' school? Said Tiffany.
There was a moment of silence.
It's all right, said Tiffany. I worked it out. This is the school, isn't it? The world. And you don't realise it until you look. Do you know the Pixies think this world is heaven? We just don't look.
You'll need a job, said Mrs. Ogg. There's no money in witchcraft.
I make good cheese, said Tiffany.
Cheese, eh? Said Mistress Weatherwax. Yes, cheese is good. Cheese is alive.
And what do you really do?
Said Tiffany. The thin witch hesitated. We look to the edges, she said. There are a lot of edges, more than people know. Between life and death, this world and the next, night and day, right and wrong, and they need watching. We guard the sum of things.
But down here, people think witches are bad, said Tiffany.
It's amazing what people can get used to, said Mrs. Ogg. You just have to start slow. But we have to hurry, said Mistress Weatherwax. There's a man riding up here on a farm horse. Fair hair, red face.
It sounds like my father.
Quick now, said Mistress Weatherwax. You want to learn the skills? Well, when you're a bit older than you are now, Miss Tick here will come and find you, all right?
Yes, said Tiffany, grinning happily.
She picked up her broomstick and turned back to Tiffany.
Come here, young lady.
Tiffany obeyed. Mistress Weatherwax reached out and gently raised Tiffany's chin so that she could look into her face. I see you opened your eyes. Many people never do. Times ahead might be a little tricky, even so. You'll need this. She stretched out a hand and made a circle in the air around Tiffany's head. Tiffany raised her hands. For a moment, she thought there was nothing there, and then they touched something. It was more like a sensation in the air. If you weren't expecting it to be there, your fingers passed straight through.
Is it really there? She said.
Who knows? Said the witch. It's virtually a pointy hat. No one else will know it's there. It might be a comfort.
You mean it just exists in my head? Said Tiffany.
You've got lots of things in your head. That doesn't mean they aren't real. Best not to ask me too many questions.
What happened to the toad? Said Miss Tick, who did ask questions. He's gone to live with the wee free men, said Tiffany.
Come, sisters, we must away, said Miss Tick, who had climbed on the other broomstick behind Mrs. Ogg.
Cheerio, Tiff, said Mrs. Ogg. We'll see you again.
Her stick rose gently in the air. Mistress Weatherwax grabbed hers firmly in both hands and ran away across the turf, skirts billowing behind her. She was a speck in the distance when Tiffany's father came over the brow of the hill on one of the farm horses. As he leapt off the horse, she was surprised to see him laughing and crying at the same time. The Baron was overjoyed. Obviously, this queen woman, whoever she was, had been stealing children, but Roland had beaten her, oh yes, and helped these two young children to get back as well. Her mother had insisted on Tiffany going to bed, even though it was broad daylight. Actually, she didn't mind. She was tired. She lay in bed and smelled the ointment her mother had rubbed into her temples. Tiffany must have got hit on the head, she'd said, because of the way she kept on touching it. So, Roland with the beefy face was the hero, was he? And she was just like the stupid princess who broke her ankle and fainted all the time. It was her secret, all of it. No one else knew about the wee free men. Admittedly, Wentworth had taken to running through the house with a tablecloth round his waist, shouting,
"Wee wee men's!"
But Mrs. Aching was so glad to see him back that she wasn't paying too much attention to what he was saying. No, she couldn't tell anyone. They'd never believe her. On the fourth day after her return, Tiffany went back to work in the dairy and made butter. She turned it out onto the marble slab and picked up the paddles to pat it. Then she'd stamp it with one of the wooden stamps. People appreciated a little picture on their butter. As she began to shape the butter, she was aware of a shadow in the doorway and turned.
It was Roland.
Look, about... well, about all that, I didn't lie to anyone or anything, but my father just sort of assumed I'd been a hero and he just wouldn't listen to anything I said.
It doesn't matter, said Tiffany.
You mean you don't mind? Said Roland. No, I don't mind.
Roland stared at the fat, rich butter as she calmly patted it into shape.
One day, she said, you'll be barren, won't you? Well, yes, one day. But look, are you really a witch?
When you're barren, said Tiffany, turning the butter around, you'll be fair and generous and decent, won't you? You'll pay good wages and look after the old people. You wouldn't let people turn an old lady out of her house. Tiffany turned to face him, a butter paddle in each hand.
Because I'll be there, you see. You'll look up and see my eye on you. I'll be watching everything because I come from a long line of aching people and this is my land. You can be the Baron for us and I hope you're a good one. If you're not, there will be a reckoning.
Roland went red in the face.
You can't talk to me like that, you know.
Tiffany was sure she heard, up in the roof, someone say,
Ah, Crivens, what a wee snotter!
She shut her eyes for a moment and then, heart pounding, pointed a butter paddle at one of the empty buckets.
Fill yourself!
It blurred and then sloshed. Water dripped down the side. Roland stared at it. Tiffany gave him one of her sweetest smiles, which could be quite scary.
So, we understand one another. Isn't that nice? Now, go away.
He turned and ran. After his footsteps had died away, Tiffany said,
All right, who's there?
It's me, mistress.
A pixie appeared from behind the bucket.
Rob Anybody said we should come to keep an eye on you for a wee while.
Yes,
said Tiffany.
Hamish says there's a girl in the Long Lake clan who's looking to become a Kelder. It's a fine clan she's from,
He was going violet with embarrassment.
Good, said Tiffany. If I was Rob Anybody, I'd invite her over right away.
Oh, that's grand, said the pixie. The lads were a bit worried, you ken. I'll run up and tell them.
When she was alone again, she finished the butter and picked up the stamp she'd carved yesterday out of a piece of apple wood. She stamped it onto the butter and took it off carefully. There, glistening on the oily, rich yellow surface, was a gibbous moon and, sailing in front of the moon, a witch on a broomstick.
Well, that was We Free Men, which was written by Terry Pratchett and abridged especially for Big Toe. It was read by Nigel Pilkington.